But I'm going to do this in a way where we're just going to point out facts. Just facts. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. It's a fact-only 7 o'clock hour. Kevin, do you have the buzzer ready?
I do, yes.
Okay, if I say something that's not factual, I want you to hit the buzzer. What will that sound like?
That will be one of these.
Okay, we don't want to break the computer, though, so.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Just the facts, man.
We had tremendous calls from tremendous establishment people and non-establishment people, and the party's going to get bigger. They're not going to get the nomination. I haven't even focused on Hillary Clinton yet, and I can tell you the one person that Hillary Clinton doesn't want to run against is me, and I have that on good knowledge.
7:10 in the morning as campaign 2016 rolls out. Fact, Donald Trump loses to Hillary Clinton and to your crazy uncle from Vermont in all polling head-to-head. It's a fact. It's Alex Stone, who apparently was on vacation in Florida and got interrupted by this campaign. I wish people would just leave you alone.
Well, happy Justin Bieber's birthday today. Oh, we're talking about the campaign.
Less important, yes, but we should focus on it. Where are you in Florida?
In Palm Beach right now, and this is where Trump tonight is going to hold a news conference. Unusual for a front runner, or really any candidate for that matter, to hold a news conference instead of an election night party on a Super Tuesday. Every campaign for as many years as I can remember has always, if they think they're going to win, held a big rally and party, typically in a state where there is voting going on. But he is going to be at his club, his private club here in Palm Beach, and summoning the media to come and ask him questions. We have to believe that the campaign is using this as a chance, thinking that they're going to have a very big night tonight, which polling would indicate that they will, to claim that he has won the nomination. That's something that his opponents would say, wait a second, you have not won the nomination, but his campaign will likely claim that he has. And if he has a big night tonight, he will definitely be going down that road. He will be hard to stop. The big question being Texas, 155 delegates. Right now, Ted Cruz about 10 points ahead in Texas. But if Trump could pull that off, he would be almost impossible to stop at that point.
And even if he finishes second because of the proportional delegation of the delegates, he could still have a very big number out of Texas as well.
He'll still do fine when it comes to the delegate count.
It's Alex Stone from ABC News.
Morning, Alex. Well, first of all, enjoy what's left of your quote-unquote vacation.
I actually got sent here for work, unfortunately. Uh-huh. I didn't get to play here.
Right, yeah. You're like Ryan Burrow. He said, yeah, I said, go to these different restaurants for dinner. He said, yeah, I'm not going to have time to do that at all.
No. I do have to say, though, as somebody who is based out of Los Angeles, when we typically start in L.A. at 2 o'clock in the morning, here it is 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's a much more reasonable hour. There are actually cars on the streets and birds chirping. It's very nice.
Yeah, Alex is the West Coast ABC guy, has a ridiculous schedule.
Oh, I know. No kidding, right?
Yeah.
Alex, I have to ask you, I thought it was extremely weird, too, for Trump to pre-announce this press conference that he's having tonight. And there was early speculation that he might, and I don't even want to use the word apologize, but maybe explain some of his rhetoric toward Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, David Duke, who knows? I don't foresee that, though. You see this more as being kind of I've got the nomination,
lap.
A victory lap, yeah.
You know, it would seem that way, but you never know with Trump. Is he going to say tonight, is he going to kind of mix them together and say, you know what, I'm going to be the nominee, and now as the nominee, he needs to kind of mend fences because he knows that these other guys really don't have a chance and pivot his campaign against Hillary Clinton. He has been rough against Marco Rubio in the last couple of days, mainly after Rubio came after him regarding his spray tan and his eyes and some other things. And it will tonight be that pivot, potentially. And what are the rules of this news conference going to be? Everything that the Trump campaign does is how the Trump campaign wants to run it. If you want to cover them, you have to pretty much give yourself up to they're going to tell you how it's done. At events, rallies, they put you in a cage, essentially, and you're not allowed to get out. There was this scuff-up with a photographer from Time magazine yesterday where he tried to get out to cover a protest, and the Secret Service grabbed him around the neck and body slammed him to the ground after they had some words back and forth. And we know the rules, that if you leave the pin, you're out and you're in serious trouble. And during most of the events, he tells the crowd to turn around and mock and taunt the media. It's a different campaign. We've never seen anything like this before. So tonight's news conference at Mar-a-Lago, his private club, huge estate here in Palm Beach. It's going to be an interesting experience to see how they want to run this. They're bringing us to his property, and we will be on their terms.
Alex, speaking of Marco Rubio, I see him in the last couple of days being very on the offensive. I'm seeing more insults. It's almost as though someone in the campaign said, you need to step up and start being kind of a mini version of Donald Trump's and start letting the insults fly, which he has done. I don't know if I see that helping him, though.
Yeah, is it too late? Because this isn't who he has been up until now. Look, he's got to win something tonight because he keeps saying he will beat Donald Trump. Well, time is running out. He's got to show that tonight. And he's the guy with all of the endorsements from the establishment, getting those around Nevada. And then in Nevada, Donald Trump ran away with it. So he's got to prove he can do something tonight. And he has tried by changing his tactic. But it kind of reminds you of what Jeb Bush did in the final weeks, where all of a sudden his tactic changed and his rhetoric changed as well. And it just didn't seem natural in the way that of what we've heard through the whole campaign. So will it work? We'll have to see tonight. Maybe it will. But Rubio needs to win something. Ted Cruz needs to win something. Texas, preferably for his campaign. But he hasn't won since Iowa, and they need to show they can win again.
Well, a combination of facts and educated speculation seems to indicate that the buzz has shifted from interesting reality show guy to, hey, look at all the things he's doing, to largely negative now. The majority of the news being reported about Trump, outside of the fact that he's leading in so many states, is negative news because of the sticking his foot in his mouth in various ways. There's a New York Times story that he sat down for an off-the-record conversation that somehow has leaked, and the leaks indicate that he said, the immigration plan, I could be flexible. Is that getting any traction in Florida?
We're beginning to hear some talk about it as it just starts to come out now. And in Florida, early voting is already underway, even though this is not a Super Tuesday state. And in fact, he's making stops today in non-Super Tuesday states. He's so confident. He's going to Ohio, Kentucky, and then ending his time here in Florida, where the rest of the candidates, some of them are ending here in Florida, but they're spending other time in the Super Tuesday states. But you're right, and a lot of what you mentioned in the negative news, Trump claims, is the biased media coming out against him and that they won't give him a fair shake on anything. And that's where it comes into him telling everybody to taunt the media when they see him. And, you know, people come by and they yell things at us and they call us scum and all kinds of things because he says that we're just out to try to take him down because we are not accustomed to his type of candidate. So he will continue to claim that all that negative news is just the media making it up, but there has been quite a bit in the news cycles the last couple of days.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very presidential. Oh, wait, that's not a fact? No, that is a fact. It doesn't feel very presidential. I'm trying to stick to the facts this hour, Alex. It's not easy.
We'll have to see what they do tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make tonight look very presidential. They did in Nevada. They had the American flags in front of the blue backdrop. I have a feeling you're going to see something very similar tonight to try to give that presidential image.
I almost said have fun. Well, yeah, have fun. Why not? Alex Stone, our friend from ABC News.
Thank you, guys. Well, I am in my bathing suit right now. It's quite nice down here.
Yeah, we've got the camera on you. It's a hot look.
Yeah, this is a Speedo. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, boy, I've got a different angle.
It's a WGN Speedo. It says WGN across the front of it.
Yeah, and Steve Cochran on the back, which makes me really uncomfortable. All right, enjoy your day, will you? Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
7:18 traffic, and Adam Chappelle's in for Mary, and then we'll check in with Ryan Burrow, who's also in Florida, but I believe he's north, right?
He is, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you have for us, Adam?
If you say it's free, you're never going to get costs under control. The money is just going to flow, and they can keep raising the costs. We got to get these costs down. That's what I'm focused on.
I misspoke. I thought Ryan was north. He's actually south. He's on South Beach. Ryan's in Miami, and that, of course, was Secretary of State Clinton. Hey, Ryan, do you know, do we refer to her as Madam Secretary, Senator Clinton? What's the etiquette? Is it the last title she held?
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to be Secretary of State, Secretary, Madam Secretary. But, you know, I got to tell you, when you're throwing names around so much, usually we can just go, you know, with Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. In fact, we could go HRC if you want. That's kind of a cool code name, right?
Yeah. Everybody gets three initials. Yeah, that's exactly right.
We've kind of fallen into calling them Hillary and Bernie, which I know we shouldn't do, but we have.
Bernie claims he's still raising money and a lot of it, but the buzz certainly feels, we were talking about buzz a second ago, the buzz certainly feels like it's all Clinton now. What's it feel like in Florida?
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling going into today with this big Super Tuesday kind of southern primary. Seven of these states are in the South, and Hillary Clinton could really run up the score here. Texas, Virginia, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, obviously Arkansas, where she was a former first lady. It looks like she could really, really do some damage in those states. And while Bernie Sanders does stand a chance in some of the northern states, like Massachusetts, could possibly pull off a win there. Obviously, his home state of Vermont and maybe Minnesota. He's really, really got to win big in order to kind of fight back what she can accomplish today, which is, make that gap about 100 delegates. And once you get to that point, it's going to be very, very difficult for Sanders to come back.
Ryan, any chance that Rubio, I would automatically assume Rubio would win Florida, not so much maybe now. I think he was up by only 10 points in the last poll.
Actually, Rubio's behind.
Rubio's
still behind?
Yeah.
Ryan?
Yeah, as far as we know, it doesn't look like he's in the lead here. Obviously, we're still 2 weeks away from Rubio even competing in Florida. Although I have to point out that there are a lot of people voting, as in Illinois, the in-person voting started. Same thing's going on here in Florida. This isn't even a Super Tuesday state, but because of the fact that so many people are heading to early vote, that's why all the candidates are here. They're trying to, get some traction because who knows what could happen in the next 2 weeks. Before the primary here, but Rubio's got to bank some wins. I mean, let's face it; they've got 12 states up for grabs. There's 11 states, and America's Samoa, and he's got to bank something if he's going to take on Trump at all. Everyone seems to think that Florida is kind of his make or break state, but that's still 2 weeks away. He's got to get a couple wins or at least bank a huge amount of delegates going into that.
The hilarious thing: this campaign's so ridiculous, so upside down. I could see a press conference tonight where any of the candidates would claim American Samoa as a major victory.
11 delegates, by the way, on the Democratic side for American Samoa.
They all count. So the people you're talking to in regards to Hillary and Bernie, are they feeling like it's over? Because it sure feels early to declare that based on how hot the crazy old man from Vermont was just a couple of weeks ago.
What's interesting is this new CNN poll that came out. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see this, that shows the head-to-heads, Clinton versus Rubio, Clinton versus Cruz, and so forth, the possible matchups. And Clinton actually holds a pretty big lead over Donald Trump, but would lose or is within the margin of error in races against Cruz or Rubio. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders would win against all three Republican candidates. So if you kind of step back and kind of unpack that a little bit, you can see that Hillary Clinton still does have some trust issues, but still would have a wide margin of victory over Donald Trump, who probably also has some trust issues as well. But we'll see how today shakes out. It could be a big celebration for Hillary Clinton here in Miami. We'll see. So not only will could she get a win, but celebrate Justin Bieber's birthday at the same time.
It's big. It's very, very big.
Ryan, real quick, I know we talked to Alex Stone briefly about this Trump press conference. Highly unusual for a candidate to call a news conference, not really a victory celebration or a victory lap. What do you foresee?
Yeah, highly unusual Donald Trump. That's a surprise.
Well, that is true. Yeah, that's the only way he rolls.
I don't understand it. I mean, I talked to Alex before late last night, and he was surprised that he didn't even understand what was going on. Usually we're used to seeing, Andrea, following them in Iowa and New Hampshire, usually you focus on a state. You do everything in that state, you make your announcement in that state, you leave that state, and everyone's happy. This is kind of strange. There are 12 states up for grabs, and nobody seems to be in the states where it's going on. So I don't exactly understand what the campaign is doing on the Trump side, but, really at this point, what's to understand, right? He's in the lead, and they can do whatever they want.
It's Trump tonight at Mar-a-Lago. All the candidates will be flocking to Florida, regardless of where they are in the country, after the vote counts are in tonight. Ted Cruz will obviously be in Texas, but Ryan keeping an eye on Miami and South Florida in regards to Hillary and Bernie largely. But I know you're running around all day, so thanks for it. And you'll be on WGN throughout the day.
All right, Dave, by the way, the Bulls are down here, too. You want me to grab some sound? So post-game, I'll get some Hillary, I'll get some Bulls post-game sound, or I'll shoot it your way.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have time, Ryan, but I appreciate the offer.
Oh. Ryan, running hard on Red Bull. I mean, he's everywhere. Yeah. 727. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Pat Brady's in Springfield today. He'll join us in just a second. At @Pat_Brady, with my pledge to stick to the facts in the discussion of the Trump this hour, here are more of the facts. His claims on policies have been nothing short of vague. If you go to his campaign website, his official website, they are very vague notions of what his specific policies would be. Keeping in mind that if you approach this as the world's most important job interview, if someone sat down to you to be hired, would you like them to be vague? Would that make you want to hire them?
I would think not.
He wants the government to be larger. Larger. All of the programs he's talking about, especially the excess of presidential power, would add billions of dollars to the federal deficit, and the government would be larger and have more control over your lives. The only two things that he has suggested as specific cuts to the federal budget are the EPA being shifted to the states, and the reason the EPA was designed to be a federal program, not a state program, is because state agendas could cause environmental protections to be less. If you're going to have environmental protections, the idea that the government would be a better steward over the national environmental agenda than to give it up to individual states, which may be specific for, say, coal plants in West Virginia and things of that nature. He also wants to cut Common Core. Unfortunately, no one in Trump's campaign told him Common Core is not a federal budget item. Hard to cut it if you don't have control over it.
And he's reiterated that in every speech. When I was in New Hampshire, he kept saying, Common Core, gone.
No cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and an increase in military spending means as much as 60% of the federal budget would be off limits. Again, very difficult to cut deficits and cut spending if that's what you're going to do. Guaranteed health care for everybody. This ranting about people dying in the streets, which I don't even understand. Are people dropping dead in the streets because they don't have health care? It's news to me. But again, if you are going to have government health care, that is the absolute legacy program of President Obama. Again, this is a Donald Trump idea.
Right. Well, he wants to completely just
government health care.
I know.
No, he wants government health care. He wants government health care for everybody. But that's my point. He's saying two things. He's saying repeal Obamacare and replace it with Trump care. Well, the Trump care program has direct ties to what Obamacare is already doing. So it's baffling to me. And again, these are all factual. You can't argue these. Presidential power. He wants to dramatically increase presidential power. Again, there's an unfortunate lack of understanding of what the president can do. Now, if you believe anything that's being leaked from the New York Times, and I know anybody that's a hardcore right-wing Republican is never going to believe anything that comes from the New York Times, but Donald Trump may have sat down with the New York Times. We did sit down with him, but he may have said this week in a private New York Times meeting that his immigration policy would be flexible once he's elected. You can't say, I'm going to build a beautiful wall. I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be beautiful. And Mexico is going to pay for it. By the way, fact, Mexico ain't paying for it. And if Mexico's not paying for your big, beautiful wall and you actually do build it, that means you're paying for it. And if the federal government's paying for his immigration policy as he's laid it out, whether he agrees to stick to his own plan or not, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars being raised to just cover what the cost of all of this immigration policy would be. The tax business piece of this, talking about how he would force businesses who push jobs overseas to pay penalty taxes. The president does not have the power to impose taxes. That can only go through Congress. The president can't do it. So when you get to the end of the road here, you have to say, once he's elected, there's going to be a lot of things that he can't get done.
And no. That he's going to have to answer for.
If this were not the fact-based hour, I would tell you it's everything he said so far. But I don't know that because that's not a fact. He may be able to get some things done. But again, based on the facts, and that's just a handful of facts that I've laid out, I'm really curious as to how you would have belief in Donald Trump. That's my curiosity. Now let's talk about failures for a second. I'm just going to give you a couple of failures because he's being held up as this massively successful businessman. In some ways, he's much more like a late night guy selling stuff on TV or a guy in primetime that hosts a reality show. All substance, no core. The Trump mortgage program that he brought out in 2006, and the direct quote was, "It's a great time to start a mortgage company." It's about a year before the S hit the fan. It was out of business a year later. Trump Airlines, a failure. He put his name on vodka, Trump Vodka. This was a personal upset to Dave when Trump Vodka failed. The casinos, which are which went bankrupt, and you know the old joke: how does a casino go bankrupt? That's where the money spread it. The casinos that went bankrupt were because of his business management and the team he put in place. The teams, you know, one of the reasons you're not hearing from people that run his businesses is because there's a lot of, again, facts. There's a lot of very shady folks that have been hired to run these businesses, including the guy that ran the mortgage company, who was held up as a legendary Wall Street expert who turned out to be a friend of one of his sons.
His sons run a lot of his companies, too, by the way.
But a friend of one of your sons who just got a broker's license probably shouldn't run your big mortgage company with your name on it.
Probably not.
And Trump University, which he's in court now over, and he'll actually have to make an appearance in court in April next month to testify as to why the lawsuit should or should not go forward in regards to him being the scam artist that was behind Trump University. And that doesn't address the Polish workers that were hired to build Trump Tower, some of which were slave labor that were never paid, according to NBC News and various other news outlets. You got to look a little deeper.
I know.
You got to look a little deeper, folks. You just do.
I still maintain that people, the Trump supporters, are supporting him and they like him because he is not a politician. Even though many may argue that he is, that's what they're looking at. They're not looking at the facts. They're looking at the fact, well, he's not a former senator or congressman.
That is factually, it's not my opinion, factually, that's a wasted vote.
That is true.
It's at 7:48.
You're not lying.
Adam's back. He's got your traffic update. I'm going to turn this over to Pat because Pat Brady's in Springfield after that. And Pat brought up something yesterday, which I think is a very good point about the state of Illinois and what we can do. Stand by for that. But before we get to that, Adam, what are the cars doing? It's 7:53. People ask me all the time, okay, who are you voting for, smart guy? I would support John Kasich fully, fully for president. I don't think he has a chance to win. But of the available candidates that are out there, Kasich would be the guy that would be the best case scenario for the job of those that are left in the field. Pat Brady joins us now. Pat_Brady. That's your social media situation. Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
You're in Springfield?
I am in Springfield.
I'm sorry. All right, so you and I were talking on the phone yesterday, and I thought what you brought up was really an important thing to tell the people of Illinois, and that is we have a chance to, well, literally send a message.
Yeah, and I think the people of Illinois are pretty sophisticated voters, given that the environment we operate in. And Donald Trump tonight, there's no real bad case scenario for him. He either wins it outright tonight, or he muddles the field so much, picks up a bunch of delegates, and ultimately he's going to be the nominee unless somehow there's a brokered convention. So the reality is the Republican Party, the conservative movement, is a party of Abraham Lincoln. We can stop Trump in Illinois at least and send a message that his kind of xenophobic, racist, ridiculous politics doesn't sell here. And I think everybody should vote for Rubio or Kasich or whoever's left and send a message to the Donald, like I'm sending a message to Donald. I will never vote for Donald Trump for anything. And I think that's the kind of message he needs when he comes to the land of Lincoln.
And for people that don't know you, and most people do, you're a lifelong Republican.
I've been walking Republican precincts since I was 7 years old. The first time I did it was for Richard Nixon. I've raised, given and raised tens of thousands of dollars, worked very, very hard as a volunteer on many, many campaigns, and this is the first time in my life I will not be voting for the Republican nominee for president.
You know, one thing I haven't said in a long time, because so much of this has been about Trump, but one thing I haven't said in a long time is having interviewed Trump many times, having spent some time with him on a golf course, I don't have a personal axe to grind with Donald Trump. If he wanted to host a reality show again, if he wanted to run his businesses successfully or into the ground, good for him. If he wants to, I defended his sign on his building. Listen, he's entitled to do whatever he is as an American or does as an American. This country is too important to turn it over to someone who I feel could do incredible damage. Hit me with a buzzer. There you go. That was an opinion. I'm trying to stick to the facts this hour, and I actually threw an opinion in.
I'll give you an opinion. He's going to decimate the party. This is going to splinter the party. There's going to be some kind of third-party movement, the center-right part of the Republican Party, because the conservatives don't like him. People like me, the self-identified, maybe more moderate in the conservative umbrella, don't like him. So there may be a lot of people are going to stay home and be looking for an alternative, but he will destroy the National Democrat, or excuse me, Republican Party, and he's going to do a lot of damage down ticket. It puts everything, states in play that, like Arizona or South Carolina, that would never be in play, will be in play if he's at the top of the ticket.
Pat, under any circumstance, when he gets the nomination, under any circumstances, can you see the Republican Party coming together to support him? Or will there be, as you say, a concerted effort to find another candidate?
No, unless the D.C. folks are doing that, because they tend to follow like lemmings when the nominee is determined. But I think outside the Beltway, you won't see that. But, you know, don't want to panic. Chaos and confusion sometimes can create opportunities. And I think the party's been long overdue for a reformation that have the party more in tune with the needs and interests and desires of the public. I think the party's been tone deaf in the last 10 years. And now we can, I think Paul Ryan sets a good example, apply the conservative principles of limited government to the problems we have, which are poverty, crime, the things that the Republican Party used to address when it was the party of ideas and not now the party of, you know, a celebrity TV guy.
Adam Kinzinger, the congressman, and a freshman senator from Nebraska named Ben Sasse have both come out publicly saying they will never support Trump. When will Washington leadership, including Paul Ryan, do that?
I'm not sure if they will for quite some time, and I'm not really blaming him for doing that. They do. There is a structure. There are rules. This is how the Republican National Committee set it up, so they have to respect that. That being said, that doesn't mean they have to support him. And I think a bigger problem that no one's really talked about yet, Trump's going to have to raise $1 billion to run this campaign, and I don't know where he's going to get it. Because he's not liquid enough to write the check, even though he's telling everybody he is. He's not. And so there's going to have to be a lot of major donors and other people that are going to give him money. And it's I think, ironically funny today that he's doing this press conference at Lago Mar. I mean, one of the most opulent resorts in the country, when he's supposed to represent the downtrodden, middle-class, angry people that have been screwed by this economy. And that's where he's doing it. But that's, you know, you think it's bad living under the thumb we live in Illinois? How do you like it when Trump gets control of all this stuff? You saw what he did with the rickets. I mean, this guy is more to me like Mussolini than Madison or Monroe.
So
we're going to see.
The money point that you make is crucial, because we know last time around in 2012, both sides had to spend $1 billion. It's probably over that now. I mean, just logically, it's 4 years later. So if the Kochs of the world, and who's the rich rancher out in Wyoming that supported somebody last time, the billionaires around the country who throw money at this stuff, if they don't step up for Trump and he has no support of the $7 and $8 and $10 check writers that the crazy old uncle from Vermont had, where is the money going to come from?
I don't know. It's a good question. And Bernie Sanders has raised a ton of money, even more than Obama did at this point. But it's still not enough, I don't think, to get through a national campaign with someone like Hillary Clinton, who will raise, you know, have a ton of money coming her way. So we'll see what happens. But it's a question that needs to be asked. But I don't think there's any scenario that he can actually beat Hillary Clinton. You have the Hispanics, the most really important growing demographic in this country. They hate him. I mean, they're organizing right now against him. I mean, that goes against everything any Republican thought we needed to do to broaden the base of the party. And that's why, to me, it's so devastating that this guy's going to end up being our nominee, unless they can do something at this convention.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're a far-right Republican or a far-left Democrat, we know who you're voting for. The great question is going to be, what does the vast middle do? The middle that maybe is just lightly connected now, and we know doesn't get completely connected till summer. Maybe because of this year, they'll be connected earlier. But the vast majority of the middle hasn't even been tapped into yet. And, you know, look, Hillary Clinton's got huge legal problems. Her dishonesty and her lack of trust, those numbers are through the roof. So, Pat, last question. Does this come down to Clinton versus Trump and who we hate less?
Yeah, and her numbers, and you see the enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats in the primaries. Her numbers are terrible. The Democrats really aren't turning out. Even the Democratic strategists will tell you that. So it might come down to that. Maybe there's somehow a viable third party option. They somehow get on with the Green Party or something. But yeah, I think it does. But to me, the presidency is too serious to even consider a guy like Trump. I mean, this is
right.
We are the leaders of the free world, and we can't give the command of that over to a guy like Trump. But But all that being said, Steve, as I close here, I do have to wish happy birthday to my son Patrick, who turned 16 today. So
hey!
On a positive note.
Happy birthday. That's fantastic. All right, man. Be safe. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
That's Pat Brady. Quick break, back with your news next, and then Dean Richards, and also next hour. After 8:30, Coach Q will join us as well after that great win on Sunday. Patty Vasquez in San Diego at Marine Boot Camp. I'll tell you what that's about after 9 o'clock on 720 WGN.